Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Put a bow on, you asked me, you said how many kickers are in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
I said probably four or five.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah. So not a lot.
Not a lot.
Like I said.
Not a lot. And two of them also played other positions.
Like George Blanda?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look at you. Look at this trivia Stokely again.
Who else?
Who was the other guy?
The other kicker that played another position was Lou Groza, who also played offensive tackle.
Well, Lou Groza Ward, right?
Groza.
He played offensive tackle?
Yep.
Wow.
And worked construction in the offseason.
That's right. Yeah.
All right.
It's what you had to do.
It's what you had to do, man. It's what you had to do. Colin Coward. You like Colin Coward, Stoke?
Look, I don't ever listen to him, but... Nothing against him. He always has good takes and hot takes, and so
I'm not into Drew Lock.
But he was into Drew Lock in a big, big
into
way.
Drew Lock.
He was so into Drew Lock. He was in love with Drew Lock.
He said that
he could have that type of year before you win the MVP season last
year. Yes, the year before the year.
Yes.
And it was going to be a pop season.
That's right.
Win more games, Cub Scout.
Oof, that's good.
And then he ripped in the Drew for the dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He turned.
Go back to the bench.
He'll turn on you quick. He'll turn on you quickly.
Yeah.
John Elway's shadow is better than you.
Wow, that's good. That's good. I mean, he's got some good ones.
He does, man. He does. And, Colin Coward's view of Drew Lock isn't too dissimilar from half the fan base. Just kind of obeying what you're seeing. 4-1 gave you a lot of reason to be excited. Lead the league in picks and dead last in completion percentage. Well, ultimately, look, like either you're a Drew Lock loyalist and you pledge allegiance to the Lock, or you are a Broncos loyalist and want what is whatever best for the position.
There you go. Pledge allegiance to the Lock. Look at that.
I see a lot of that.
Is that just your saying? No,
that's a ZB original.
I like that. That's a good one. Well done.
Thank you, sir.
Especially for you.
Hey.
On a Friday.
Wow. On a Friday.
Yep, you actually came up with something creative.
I'm here, and I came up with something creative.
Right. You haven't taken a day off this week.
Nope.
You got a 5-day stretch. Wow.
That's it. All right. Colin Coward yesterday was playing a fun game on his show, going through current NFL players that are already Hall of Famers.
Okay.
Right. They're already signed, sealed.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger, Hall of Famer. We know that.
Aaron Donald.
Hall of Famer.
J.J. Watt.
Hall of Famer.
Right.
Now, they got to Von Miller, and this is what Colin said.
Oh. Okay, Von Miller.
Very, very close. I can make the argument canned out. Excluding the Super Bowl year, he's had a sack and a half in 4 playoff games. So, and there's a lot of injuries piling up. So I think Von Miller's on the edge.
Von Miller's on the edge.
But hopefully Von's listening right now.
Yeah.
If he is, I think Von's in.
Von's in.
I think Von's in.
I think
regardless
so
of what happens, Super Bowl MVP, he's had some great seasons. Second in, defensive player of the year, voting to Khalil Mack, and he got robbed. Von, you got robbed, Von. Okay, I'm sticking up for you. You should have won it over Khalil Mack that year. I think it's a shoe-in. Maybe not first ballot, maybe not second ballot, but he's a shoe-in.
Agreed. I've said many times on this show that I don't think Von Miller needs to play another snap of football to go into the Hall of Fame. He's been on the all-decade team, rather. First team All-Pro 3 different seasons. One of 10 defensive players in the history of the Super Bowl to be awarded MVP. Just doesn't happen a lot. Von Miller wrecked that football game. No question. You're talking about being in the 100 sack club, Denver Broncos are one of the illustrious franchises that this league has to offer. He's the all-time sack leader. It's only 32 teams. Not all of them are illustrious like the Broncos are. You're the all-time sack leader, Super Bowl MVP, 100 sack club, all-decade team, three-time first-team all-pro. He's working on 8 Pro Bowls. It's for me, it's open and shut. It's open and shut. 26 career forced fumbles. I mean, that is incredible. Von Miller has put together a sterling career, Hall of Fame career, no doubt. But there is context to Von's journey as a Denver Bronco. We talk about like John Elway and just how like complicated that history is. I just laid at the feet of Von Miller's career. And you know where I stand on the Hall of Fame status and have stood that way for years. But simultaneously, since the reins of the franchise got turned over to him, Peyton retires, DeMarcus Ware retires, they ink him to the largest deal in the history of any defensive player. He becomes the face of the organization. The worm really turned for the Denver Broncos.
So you're down on Von now? You're really down?
I'm just telling the truth.
You're down on him.
Since that contract was signed, the Broncos have not been back to the playoffs, and it's the worst stretch of NFL football in the history of the organization. So while
really down on him,
everything I said previously is true and have said that for years, if I'm just being authentic and transparent, two things can be true at the same time. Von Miller is one of the all-time great players, probably the greatest defensive player in the history of the organization, but also on his watch in his prime was the worst stretch of Broncos football that we've ever seen in the NFL anyway.
Yeah, I'm not really concerned about the Broncos overall when looking at Von Miller and like trying to say, well, Von was a part of that football team or that time span. Von just needs to play better than what we've seen the last, 3 years or so? I mean, he needs to play better. How about that? He hadn't played well enough. Broncos haven't played good football, obviously, but Von hasn't, you know, to the standard that we are used to and accustomed to here, he hasn't lived up to that here the last 3 years.
Hard to argue. And we'll see if we get a revival, you know, in 2021 here that we thought was coming last year. And what a devastating injury to Von last year. That was, ugh. I mean, we were expecting great things. And, you know, everything that he was saying was matching up with the work. And it just, the way that it happened was unfortunate. But he's got another season. He's got another season here. The book is still being written. The book is still being written. And he's got an opportunity to be a part of a winning Broncos team here for the first time in 17, 18, 19, 20, 4 or 5 years here. So we'll see. Right around the corner.
Yeah. You know he's motivated. Last year of his contract here, so he'll either be back here or be somewhere else. He wants to keep playing. And, you know, a lot of people are doubting, can he return to form? And usually that's when you get the best year out of somebody. Hopefully Chubb stays healthy. We can see both those guys healthy on the football field and see what it looks like.
Here we go, right around the corner. All right, we are fresh off of watching practice number 8 out at Broncos training camp. Who is Stokely's star of the day? We'll get to that coming up next.
It's training camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew. Powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach. Oh,
who's making plays? Who gets their name immortalized on the plaque outside of Dove Valley?
Yeah, the great honor today, and this is a two-time winner, also has the twinkle from you and a star of the day. And this will be the second time that we've had that. Tim Patrick was the first that has gotten both great recognitions from us. Whenever you're able to say you're not only a star, but a twinkle.
Oh, my gosh, a two-time.
Right. What you just put that on the top of your resume. I don't care. Super Bowl champion doesn't matter. I mean, you just put star in a twinkle, two-time. This guy also was a twinkle of your eye earlier in camp.
Oh.
And he came out today, man. He continues to deliver. And, you know, when you take that next step and you go from twinkle to star, you're doing something. You're doing something right. And he has caught my attention early on. And he's been consistent throughout camp. And I thought he had a great day today. Trinity Benson, welcome to the club.
Ooh, Trinity!
Welcome to the club. You got Let's called go. Up to the majors.
Let's go.
Really like what I see from him. He stepped up to the plate. He looks like he belongs out there. And he makes big plays. So, you know, that's a guy that I guarantee the quarterbacks are like, we can trust him. So if you're going with the second group and you're looking around, you like you got the Mac kid, you got this guy, that guy. Oh, Trinity Benson, that's where I'm going with the football. So he keeps on showing up and being consistent day in and day out. And if he keeps this up, I don't know if you can cut him if you're George Payton. So hopefully he can keep it up and make that decision tough for George Payton. But Trinity Benson had a really good day today, and that's my star of the day.
His chance to make the football team is what?
Oh, I got a lot of football left. You know, you're up against Tyree Cleveland, who made the football team last year, late-round draft pick. Seth Williams, another late-round draft pick this year.
Yep.
So you're up against those guys. Tyree Cleveland, I believe, has been hurt, possibly.
Yeah, I haven't seen him out there.
I think he's hurt.
And his camp early on was not inspiring at all.
Not at all. Struggling with drops, not having a good camp. It's going to be interesting to see how this thing shakes out. Do they keep five? Do they keep six? I mean, we know Cortland, Jerry, KJ, Tim Patrick, that's four.
Yep.
Do we know anybody else? Just those four.
Those four are the locks.
Those are the locks. And then the guys that are candidates, let's go through them. Seth Williams.
Yep.
Tyree Cleveland.
Yep.
Trinity Benson.
Yep.
Who else? I'm talking about real candidates, not Do you know anybody else?
Do you put Deontay Spencer in that conversation? Or more just a special? He's got WR next to his name, but he's kind of...
He's more of the out... I mean, because he's mainly there to play special teams, so I'm not going to even include him with the wide receivers.
What about Kendall Hinton?
Yeah, throw him in there. He's a possibility. Yep, certainly.
Kendall Canton. Excuse me.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Some respect on that name.
That's right. Yes, he's in there for
that's
sure.
That's it.
Okay, so... You know, you definitely have one spot open and possibly two, probably just one. Gave you four guys, 25%.
Okay.
See that?
Yeah. Fourths.
Yeah. No, I'm going to do a little, I'm just joking there. I think it's higher than that. When you look at those four guys, Seth Williams, what has he done this camp?
Not much.
Nothing. I mean, like nothing that's really stood out to me like Trinity Benson. Tyree Cleveland has had a bad camp, and now he's been hurt. Kendall Hinton.
Can you cut a guy who's a young player and in Canton? Can you do that?
Yes, very easily.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to say his chance to make this team 33%.
Trinity Benson. 33%?
33%.
Okay.
For Trinity Benson.
Well, I'll tell you what, for a guy who you know, just his status on the team right now is what it is, he is making as good of a case for him to have a roster spot as there is. Every day he's out there. He makes a play every day. And if you're a fringe guy who has to scratch and claw his way, you don't have margin for error, and you got to stick out. And he has checked both of those boxes. Hasn't hurt the football team at all that I could see. And just goes out there and makes plays every day.
Right. Yeah. The thing that might hurt him is special teams. I don't know what kind of special teams player he is. You know, and Tyree Cleveland's a good special teams player.
Right.
Seth Williams is a bigger guy, so he's probably a better special teams player.
Yeah, Benson's not very big. I mean, he's listed at 6 foot.
Yeah, so I don't know, you know, if he contributes. In special teams or not. Yeah, that's usually a big deal when you're looking at the fifth, sixth wide receiver.
Right, right. Yeah, that size, that tangible aspect is working against him. He's listed at 6 foot, 180 pounds, which means he's probably like 5'10" and a half and 177 pounds. So we'll see. But eventually, if that guy keeps doing this and it translates to preseason games, Trinity, he might become, I don't want to say uncuttable because he's Trinity Benson, but at the same time, like, you risk someone else, you know, plucking that guy from your roster.
Yeah, certainly.
So, all right, you played a long time in the same league that you cover. So, I mean, you deserve a star of the day. I didn't do that. I didn't come close to doing that, which is why I don't get a star. But I do get a twinkle.
Yes, you do. You deserve it.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star. How
I can't believe we still do this. My twinkle today. Not a ton of candidates from out there today, but this might be an accumulation. And today, I just saw more validation of how promising of a player this young man is. And we haven't talked a ton about him, but Patrick Surtain Jr. just looks the part. There was a really good ball to Jerry Jeudy on the right sideline that Pat Surtain was in perfect coverage for. Gets his right arm around the receiver, which was Jeudy, and broke up what would have been probably, I don't know, a 30-yard gain down the field. And I just think, well, first of all, Pat Surtain has to pan out, given what the Broncos didn't do.
Yeah.
It kind of goes back to that 2018, and we're going to talk about that here in a second, because obviously a monster development in terms of that draft class today here this morning. But, you know, so Pat Surtain, to validate the pick at 10th overall, has to be great. Not good, great. And my eyes are telling me that this dude is heading in that direction. So my twinkle of the day here goes to the 10th overall pick out of Alabama, the son of Pat Surtain. It's Pat Surtain Jr.
Love it.
And
love
I said, I said 10th overall is 9th overall, right?
The I was ninth? Watching the wrestling.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're so wrapped up into
it. Was great. USA versus, I don't know, whoever.
I think it was France.
They were down. The guy was down 8-7 with 6 seconds left, and they had to stop. They went back at it, and I don't know, he did some flipperoo thing, got on his back and scored 2 points with, like, as the clock struck zero to walk off win. I mean, wow. it was awesome. I mean, this is what the Olympics is all about. And he's jumping up and down. I mean, it's awesome. Awesome.
And is the American guy who won?
That's right.
Perfect.
It wouldn't be awesome if the other guy won. I wouldn't be watching it.
Perfect.
It wouldn't be awesome.
I love it. Have you watched a lot of the Olympics here?
Off and on, you know, a little bit. I mean, I'm following it, but not as much as I say in the past, you know, when it Michael Phelps and stuff like that. So not as much in the past. It's kind of come out of nowhere this year, more so than I think in the past for some reason. I don't know. But it hasn't been the same for me as it has in the past, you know, decade plus. How about you?
Same. Same. Just not the same appointment viewing for me at my house right now. Not for any particular reason, but I think that the lack of fans, the lack of household name star power, Simone Biles was that. You know, I didn't get to see a lot of her. You talk about it was supposed to be held last year. It's being held this year, but still being called the name of last year, a little bit different there. So, yeah, I just, you know, I guess it's an accumulation of those things where I just haven't caught a lot of it. And I think we're probably a reflection of the general public. Yeah. I read this morning it's the lowest rated Olympics.
Oh, really? The big stars. Who are the big stars? You always had Michael Phelps. You always had some great track stars. I mean, who are the great track stars right now for the men side? I mean, do we like the 4x100 just got knocked out in the semis or something? I mean, they didn't make it to the finals. I mean, what a joke that is. I mean, and a lot of underperforming Americans, actually, you know, not even leading the gold medal count right now, which, you know, China's ahead there. So I think a lot of, you know, you look at the women's soccer. You know, they got knocked out there in the semis and ended up winning the bronze. So that was good. But I think, you know, we are winning the overall medal count.
We are.
But not the gold. The gold is what counts, right?
The other medals count, too.
They count, but, you know, the standard is to win a gold. It's that first place. Orange slice of forever. I got you.
But we want to win the gold. Winning a silver medal
is awesome.
An orange slice.
It's awesome. It's awesome. But you're measured, your country, by, like, gold, first place medals. First. first. You want to win that. We should win that, and we're not. So there you go.
What would you rather have, the most gold medals or the most overall medals?
That's a good question. Let me think about that before I make a statement and then have to backtrack. Can I come back to you on that one?
Yeah, we can circle back.
Gene, if you ain't first, you're last.
Stokely and Zach's analysis of Training Camp 50-50 Teddy versus Drew is powered by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. The development that goes back to 2018 that culminated today with an incredible contract in the National Football League. We'll take a dive into that conversation coming up next.
It's Training Camp 50-50 Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Love Lil Wayne. Weezy!
Oh my God. Folks, I'm just going to tell you.
Quiet.
Just let it go.
Quiet.
Just let it go. Don't text in. Don't pull your hair out. Just let it go. All right. A top 2018 draft selection.
This guy literally had a walk-off on the wrestling mat. Like, you know, no time. Like, time expired. He was down a point, and he flipped over and jumped on this guy's back and scored a two-pointer.
Gable walk-off. Stevenson.
Walk-off. I mean, if you haven't seen it, it's awesome. They showed pictures of his family, you know, back at home. Obviously, they can't be there or whatever, wherever they were. They can't. And they were going absolutely, I mean, that's ballistic. It's crazy. And you'll see it. It's gonna be on SportsCenter. It's got to be on SportsCenter. So, but what a way to win a you know, match.
Yeah.
And get over that. It's awesome.
You were watching it for the first time, but that was not live.
That wasn't live.
No.
See, that's the problem with the Olympics, too. You never know when it's live or not.
Correct.
You don't ever know when it's live. So this already happened.
Yeah, very early, this morning.
Yesterday, I mean, see,
before 6 o'clock in the morning.
But that's the problem. Yep. That's the problem with the Olympics, right there. It's not live. And you know, because we were just talking about like that stuff is going off at 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning or late at night. And then when it's not, you never know when it's live or not. And so if I guess it fooled me because I did think it was live, but still, it's awesome. I don't care if it happened this morning, yesterday morning. You'll see it tonight. It was awesome.
All right.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, we got the men's basketball team. When is that game?
They're playing France, right?
Yep. And I'm just, when
it's
is
either,
that game
It's got
here?
To either
is
be it, tonight or tomorrow.
Looks like it's 8:30 tonight.
Okay. The women will be coming up here soon.
Yeah. I'll have to double back on that, but... I think that's tomorrow night. All right, against, I want to say Japan, is it?
Okay.
I think so. But I'll be locked into that one tonight at 8:30. All right. First of all, congratulations. You know, I know you, you know, new dog owner, new ape owner.
I don't know, Choma. What?
Did you buy an elephant?
Huh?
Did you buy a digital elephant?
Hey, man. Hey, what's wrong with you? You already got me in trouble early in the week. You're talking about the horses and the horse farm that me and Tyler might be buying. Oh, my gosh. These boxers are wrestling.
Look at you. Right on the ground.
What is going on? But you already got me in trouble. Then and now, you're talking about apes and dogs and elephants. Hey, there's a world out there, man. I'm just telling you, there's a world out there. And if you ignore it, it'll bite you because it's real. And there's real money to be made for some people. So
I love
it. I'm just kind of following it and keep my eye on it, maybe partake a little bit.
You are diversified, my friend.
That's right. You got to be diversified
got
in life,
to.
Right? And so
got to.
Crypto is out there. Crypto's not going anywhere.
Nope.
It's real.
Nope.
So I'm jumping in there a little bit. How about that? I'm dabbling my toe in there just a little bit.
You are, man. When nature calls, man.
I do want to own a farm, though. I would like to own a farm with a couple horses. And you know, it's all imaginary, but it's not.
But it's real. Not. No, it's it not. Is, but it's not. Stoke, what do you make?
Thank you for that. My wife, she'll be texting any second now.
The Buffalo Bills and quarterback.
Oh, gosh.
They've agreed to a 6-year contract extension. His deal tops out at $258 million with $150 guaranteed. I mean, wow.
Yeah, it's awesome. Look, the guy deserves it. He's been great for Buffalo, for that city, that team, that organization, everything about that place. Everything, fans, you know, team, or everything. And they had such a great year last year. Look, he can do it all. So very deserving for him. I mean, you see these contracts for these quarterbacks. That's just they're valuable. They're valuable. And these contracts, you know, just let you know how valuable they really are. And these organizations know it. You had to get them locked up. If you don't do it now, what's going to happen? That guy's not going to all of a sudden fall off the face of the earth.
Right.
He's just not. And they got a really good team. If you wait, it's going to be Dak Prescott 2.0.
Mm.
It's going to cost you another $50, $60 million here in a couple years if you want to play the franchise tag game. So they did right. Just pony up. And then in 4 years, that deal won't look, you know, like crazy, which is crazy to say. But it won't look crazy. You know, got Lamar, Baker. Who else will be coming up here shortly? Anybody else?
Not on that level. Like, you'll see guys like, I don't know, Kyler.
Kyler, yeah. You know, he's kind of starting to make or break to see if he can get that type of deal.
Yeah. But not on that type of level.
Right.
Like, you're an MVP candidate.
Well, I mean, Kyler was talked about like that early in the season last year, like the first 7 weeks. I mean, he was, you know, when you look at his rushing touchdowns, I mean, they were playing good football. He was kind of in that conversation, and then he fell off.
Right.
I don't know, he got hurt, but then he kept on saying he wasn't hurt, but he stopped running the football. Anybody else? I mean, what would the next Russell Wilson contract look like?
That's a good one.
You know, can he hit it out of the park like that again? You know, that type of deal?
I remember he was in bed doing the selfie video when he signed it. It was him and Sierra, like, lying in bed.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm in bed here, just signed a record deal. Go Hawks.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, that, but this Josh Allen deal, Stoke, this Josh Allen deal, 150 in total guarantees and 100 million full and guaranteed upon signing.
Both of those. How much fully?
$100 million fully guaranteed upon signing.
Okay.
$150 million in total guarantees. Both of those are the highest ever. I mean, this is crossing into, you know, it's always going to be a question. Should he be a Bronco? Should the Broncos be inking him to a deal like this? You know, and we're still waiting on the returns for Bradley Chubb, and that's what makes it sting just a little bit more.
Yeah, when you don't draft that quarterback and you pass one, you need one, you pass on one, and he ends up being great, and it's just like, you know, he's right up the road. There was a lot of talk about John loving him, and, you know, he fit John's profile, and you don't select that guy, and he ends up being who Josh Allen is, and you still haven't found one. That's a kicker. You still haven't found one. You know, Bills passed on Mahomes.
Right. Yep.
Right. Let's not forget that they passed on Patrick Mahomes. Well, they end up making do over, make up. You know, we got Josh Allen, so all is good. And we haven't gotten that makeup yet. We haven't found that guy. So yeah, it still stings, and it stings every time he plays good. It stings, you know, on days like this when he signs that deal. I mean, you know, how nice would that be? Well, we're not talking about this quarterback competition. We're talking about Josh Allen inking a, you know, 6-year, $258 deal. How great would that be today?
How packed would practice be?
Oh.
And you got a megastar as your quarterback.
Yeah.
The sky's the limit. And you're coming off 13-3 and playing in the AFC Championship game.
It'd be packed.
It'd be packed. All right. James Merrillat was out at practice. Do we have a controversy developing here with our
get Mayor Latin check.
Teddy versus Drew 50-50. Hang tight. We'll get to it next.
Unlimited.
It's Training Camp 50-50. Teddy versus Drew. Powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
James Merrillat of DenverFan.com drops by, as he often does, following a training camp practice where we're all out there by the tree. My buddy Ryan said, he said, are you at, he was trying to find my location. He said, are you at 104 tree?
That's good.
I said, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is kind of turning into that, though.
104 tree.
We've got our spot.
Pretty good.
James, I mean, I don't get it, you know. I don't get your point of view on practice. We were there. We were watching. We were talking about it.
Yeah.
And it was clearly Teddy's day from the start. He hit the deep pass to Judy.
He did.
And even in the middle of practice, he was a more consistent quarterback. 7-on-7, red zone, team drills. He had a couple long in-cut routes to Tim Patrick, Trinity Benson, and the deep one that I mentioned to Judy. So I just thought it was, you know, when I left. Now, I didn't stay for the very end, which, you know, I had to get to work, so I didn't get to watch the very end of practice, unfortunately.
Right,
but
right.
When I left, I'm like, this thing is case closed. It's not even close.
All right, not even close.
What?
You're pointing out the highlights, and you're just ignoring all of the lowlights, right?
The lowlights of Drew holding the ball too long in 7-on-7, well, and blowing it dead. The lowlights of Drew having escaped the pocket and holding the ball too long the next play also.
Here's what bothers me.
What lowlights are you talking about, James?
Here's what bothers me.
Enlighten me, please.
Right? So when Drew holds the ball and runs, everybody scoffs. Like, he can't make decisions. And when Teddy holds the ball and runs, it's like, boy, smart. I mean, just a veteran play. It's like they're doing the exact same thing, and we're evaluating it different. So that's first of all.
Well, can I answer that?
Sure.
Well, you know why? Because we saw that too much with Drew. We haven't seen that with Teddy. So that's kind of – that's how the coaches are viewing it too, I guarantee you.
Okay. All right.
Right? The coaches are like pulling their hair out when Drew holds it too long.
So that's my first thing.
Okay.
I kind of grade him equally on that. The second part was,
did you see Teddy doing that a lot today? Is that what you're referencing?
He did it a few times.
Or are you just saying in general?
He did it a couple of times today. I think they probably did it about the same. Drew maybe did it a couple times more today.
Yeah,
but it wasn't like one guy did it 12 times, the other guy never did it. So I thought that was close. The other part was, Teddy threw a ball right to, I think it was Marshall. Hit him right between the numbers and he dropped it.
To who?
So it should have been a pick. I think it was Trey Marshall.
Trey Marshall.
Okay. Oh, that was towards the end?
Yeah.
That hit him
right between the numbers. Should have been a pick. Wasn't.
Bad throw, bad decision.
Yeah, both. Both. Then he throws an interception in the red zone to Justin Simmons right to him. I mean, it's like it was every bit as bad as the interception that Drew threw 2 days ago in the red zone to Justin Simmons. It was awful. Just an awful throw. So he had two picks.
Well, no, you can't say he had two picks.
No.
He only had one pick.
Well, when I'm up there, when Drew does that, it's like, I guarantee you that's how the coaches are grading it. They're calling it a pick. So we got to apply the same logic to
You're not talking about me.
Teddy.
I don't say that. I don't know who you're talking about.
I mean, are you talking about Kisner? Are you talking about Richie?
Are they telling you this? I'm not telling you this. So let's not throw me in that bunch. No.
The Little League Mom scorebook here where it's like, you know, Timmy hits a dribbler to second.
Oh.
The guy boots it, and Mom writes a double.
Yeah, he got a double on that play, right?
I mean, come on.
No, it was actually inside the park home run, James. The guy threw it over first, and then the kid threw it over third, and he walked in. It was inside the park home run. Timmy hit a home run that ends up being an out-of-the-park home run in a week.
And now Drew's pick, and this is something you've said, was on a tipped ball,
yes.
Which is it's bad luck.
That's what I said for Teddy, and that's what I said for Drew.
So it was two interceptions for Teddy today. None for Drew.
It was not two interceptions, James. It was one for Drew and one for Teddy. And obviously the one for Teddy was a lot worse.
Well, and here's the other thing. And so those were a couple of things. But the number one thing is Drew threw a pass, and it was, I think it was to Seth Williams. It was to Tim Patrick. And about a 20-yard.
This is the one you're talking about.
About a 20-yard crossing route. And he just throws a dart. I mean, the ball barely gets more than 7-8 feet above off the ground. Just a dart. Teddy Bridgewater can't make that throw. There's not a throw Teddy Bridgewater.
Was it completed?
Yeah.
What happened?
It was completed.
It was a dart.
But the play was blown dead.
Oh, James, because you're of not a telling sack. Us that, James.
It was blown dead because
he held the ball too long, James.
Oh, my God. Oh, and the coaches did not honor it. They did not move the ball.
James, are you going to tell us that? Thank goodness you could stay late, Zach. And I went and got the coffees for us. That's why I leave you behind, Zach. Because if not, Marillette would have fooled us.
Did he or did he not, though, make the throw?
He did.
After 20 seconds, the shot clock expired. I don't care if you made the three-pointer after the shot clock expired. It doesn't matter.
Teddy can't make that throw. He can't. Teddy has not made a throw yet in training camp that Drew can't make, and there's been multiple times.
But you have to actually go out there and do it, James.
I know.
I don't care about your arm talent or what you can do or your potential. You have got to do it, and you have to do it consistently. That's the issue here.
Here's what I can't wait until a week from Saturday, and then a week after that, and then a week after that, where they're actually going to play football, so we're not getting the, well, that's a sack on Drew's, but Teddy's, you know, when he's back there for 7 seconds, boy, look at his pocket presence. Look at how he buys time and makes the throw like it. And I'll admit, I do it the other way.
I mean, yeah, I don't hear anyone talking like that.
You
about
haven't
Teddy
said
Bridgewater.
It. Zach. Oh, I gosh. Haven't said it.
Like, oh look gosh. At Teddy. Look how he buys. I haven't heard that.
The things I hear just walking around out on the hill. You know, I'm a man of the people.
I was there with you today.
And I go and I put together the scorecard that we do on, you know, all the 104.3 The Fan social platforms. You can see it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and it's 5-3, Drew. And that's not my opinion. It's just kind of getting a sense from the people.
Well, whose opinion is it? Who's writing that article it's and like publishing 5-3, Drew?
It's like a Gallup poll. It's like a straw poll. I'm just kind of getting a sense of the media people that are out there.
Do you think the Broncos coaching staff has it 5-3?
I certainly hope so.
Okay.
Well, the Broncos coaches, see, this is what we have to remember, okay? The Broncos coaching staff, this isn't a scorecard here. You follow me? It's not like boxing, where after the round you got to score, and then you add them all up, and then you declared the winner by who has the most points. That's not how this thing's going to work. Y'all realize that, right? I know you do, Zach, but I'm looking at James.
Sure.
Look at me in the eyes, James. Look at me in my eyes. You realize that, right? You do understand that.
That was uncomfortable.
I do understand
okay,
it.
Good.
But
good.
If the Broncos coaching staff has a different opinion of it than me, I'm not taking that as a negative toward me. Like, if Pat Shurmur sees something different than me, great. I think Pat Shurmur has all sorts of flaws and sees things strangely. The other thing, though, driving down there today, and I'm just thinking about this competition that we're watching every day, I'm getting so aggravated that, once again, the Broncos are trying to take a quarterback with a lot of raw talent and force a square peg into a round system hole. We've seen it over and over and over again, right? We even saw him try and force Peyton Manning into the Gary Kubiak hole, but it worked out, but that was silly.
But, like, what do you mean by that? I mean, like, what are they doing to do that?
They had success when Rich Gangarella was here with Drew Locke, and they were running the Kubiak-Shanahan offense, which is tailor-made for Drew Locke's skills. And it simplified the game. It made it easier reads. He was able to get out and get on the move, run some waggle, do those kind of things. So what do? They fire that offensive coordinator, bring in Pat Shurmur, who, where's the long litany of quarterbacks that Pat Shurmur has groomed? I mean, is there some sort of list of all these guys that, man, that couple of years they spent under Pat Shurmur, that really turned them around? Like,
we were actually trying to throw incompletions.
Right. That guy, right? So we're taking Drew Locke, who has these you know, raw talents, and trying to force him to be a robot. It's like,
well, to be
can
fair,
you be Teddy Bridgewater? And if you can be Teddy Bridgewater, then you can beat out Teddy Bridgewater. I don't want Teddy Bridgewater 2.0. I don't. Well, I want Drew Locke from 2019. It's the most asinine plan that they've put together here. They went 4-1 and had good numbers running this system. So let's make him do this, and then when it doesn't work out, we're going to continue to make him do that and beat out another guy who's better suited to run this lousy system. It's just...
Well, James, to be fair, here, right, we have seen – I've seen Pat Shurmur out there operate with getting these guys outside the pocket. We've seen RPO stuff. And we saw RPOs last year. And let me just get out in front of it like Pat Shurmur's doing with RPOs.
AKFN, HD1,
Longmont, Denver. You can't cut me off. That felt good.
You literally cannot do that. That is – Like we
what,
do
is it
that.
Against the law?
Yes.
It's not against the law.
Yes.
It is not against the law.
It actually is.
Okay, well, have them come arrest me then. Have them come arrest me then,
The FCC says you have a four-minute window from 58 to 02. This is
That's what I said. That was my rule.
No, this is the FCC rule that pre-exists your radio crew. They didn't make it up when you decide to get behind the mic.
So
we may lose our license.
KKFN, HD1, all my. I'll just do it on time then. There you go.
What I was hoping to
Zach,
do, what
can
I was
I finish
hope,
my
no,
thought process
no,
here
cannot.
About Pat Shurmur?
No.
I had a valid point.
No.
I want to stick up for Patty for one time.
I was hoping to bring us together because there's so much discord in this world right now. I was hoping for the first time ever to do a three-person KKFN.
No, forget that. No, that's not going to work, buddy. Sorry.
Dude,
no, that's
you guys aren't interested in showing a display of unity?
Merrill, are you?
No, I want to
I'm not
win.
Either. Right, exactly.
But
so,
you
Zach,
started.
Take your three-person KKFN and go shove it where the sun don't shine. We're not about that. There's a winner and there's a loser on this show, okay? That's what's
going to
happen.
I won twice.
2-0. I did it 1 minute before, and I did it right on time. So
this is a reflection of the competition out there. We're all losing right now.
Here's how you handled yourself. Here's the thing.
Wait, James, real quick, though. I do want to stick up for Pat Shurmur, seriously, because I do see – I want to stick up for him a little bit.
You want to stick up for Pat Shurmur?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
Richie, roll on this.
And then I'm going to take a shot at him on the way out.
Okay.
But I am seeing him use the athletic ability of Drew in practice. We do see the bootlegs. We do see the RPOs, okay? Now, I saw some of that last year also in the preseason, RPOs. And so – I am seeing him try to use some of that athletic ability. It is different than the Rich Gangarello under the center, more bootleg in that way system. But I am seeing him try to use some of Drew's strengths. But now here's the key. He's got to do it when it counts. He's got to do it in the regular season. I didn't see enough of that in the regular season. So that's where Pat Shurmur's got to improve. He's got to, you know, take this over and carry it over to when it matters the most.
I agree with that. But here's the thing. Drew Lock, did he regress from his rookie year to his second year?
Yes.
Okay. So to me, there are three potential people to blame for that, and I think they're all at fault. It's Drew Lock, for one. Okay, I'm not, you know, dismissing that. It's Vic Fangio, who decided to get rid of the offensive coordinator who helped a rookie who hadn't even been at practice, who was upstairs doing VR and then was just chucked out onto the field to start a game. Rich Gangarello helped him succeed despite things kind of being stacked against him. Vic Fangio decides to kick him to the curb, and then they bring in Pat Shurmur. And Pat Shurmur gets the free pass of COVID and no preseason and barely had a training camp. Pat Shurmur gets that free pass, but Drew Lock doesn't. It's, nope, we got to bring in competition for Drew, telling everybody that the problem was Drew, and the problem was Drew didn't work very hard. And I think it's completely unfair. And again, I'm not saying he's completely faultless in this, but I think he's getting all of the blame, and they're asking him to do things that don't fit his skill set.
All the blame from who?
From the organization, for one. They didn't bring in competition for Pat Shurmur. They didn't say, hey, we brought back Rich.
Well, they had to do something.
We brought back Rich to be the QB coach, and if things don't work out, we're happy to make a switch. Not that you would do that, but just playing out the hypothetical. And when you contrast how this organization has done things with young quarterbacks, Paxton Lynch is on the list. They drafted a guy they knew would only run eight plays in college, right? So to ask him to come in and do something completely different was foolish. It might not have worked out and probably wouldn't have worked out either way, but that was silly. Contrast to what Brian Daboll's done up in Buffalo with Josh Allen, right? In 2018, it was a simplified offense.
Totally.
They let him run the ball a lot because you had a guy that had a big arm, and he's a big guy that can run the football. So they did a lot of that. And year after year after year, it gets more complicated. They didn't bring in Josh Allen and say, hey, I know you didn't run this up in Wyoming, and I know you're an athletic guy, but we want to make you a pocket passer, and you've got to run this complex system. That would have been foolish, and that's what they do here over and over and over again. And it's just so unbelievably frustrating. Do I think Drew Locke's going to be a great quarterback? No, but he has a heck of a lot of chance to turn it into one than Teddy Bridgewater. So what are we doing?
We're trying to win games this year. That's the thing. It's not the potential of
Drew Locke. We're trying to save Vic Fangio's job, which is, again, is to me, should be about 42nd on the list of priorities this year, saving Vic Fangio's job.
Well, but honestly, and this is just the truth, if what you're saying is the real, then Vic shouldn't be here.
I agree. I've been saying that for a long time. I said it after the Tennessee game last year, which was the opener. And that's part of the problem is they're in this weird situation where, Stoke, you're right, they're trying to win games this year, but they're trying to win games this year so Vic Fangio can save his job. Nobody thinks this is a Super Bowl team.
Well, right? I mean, that's what you do. Usually that's what you do in sports. You try to win. George Payton's first year here. He's going to try to win games this year. Is it for Vic? Is it for the organization? The players are going to try to win. So, yes, I mean, Vic's trying to save his job, but you're always usually going into a season with the mindset of we're going to try to win.
No doubt.
Because don't know how it's going to play out.
I'm with you, but part of it is where that win total is on a trajectory, right? So 8-9, 9-8 with Drew Locke, to me, is much better than 8-9, 9-8 with Teddy Bridgewater.
Why?
Because it's a stair step.
What's going to happen now with Drew?
Now you can look
Drew,
at it
you're
say,
still moving on from Drew then.
Well, you're moving on from Drew.
I don't know if you're 9-8 with Drew Locke the whole year. I don't know about that.
And he throws.
You got a wondering eye. I can promise you that
he throws 25 TDs and 14 picks, 13. You'd be looking at saying, hey, it's progress. And maybe next year they're a 10-win team. Maybe the year after that they're, you know, you think you're on an upward slope, or at least you can convince yourself of that. Teddy Bridgewater, 8-9, 9-8, you're standing up on top of Table Mesa. It's just Plateau City. You know that's as high as you're going to get. I just don't think that makes any sense for this organization. But they continually do things that don't make any sense.
Let's not act like Drew played good football last year. Right, so this is the issue, James. You're trying, like, he didn't do good enough last year, and that is the problem here. So, you know, you're trying to give him a pass and just say start this guy. You just want him to have another free pass. He had a free pass last year.
Did Drew Locke have a good season last year?
No, it was awful.
Did Vic Fangio coach well last year?
No, he did a bad job.
Did Pat Shurmur? Those guys are not. They're not down there, you know, with competition. Like they should have been. They should have been booted out of their job too.
They do have competition because they know if they don't win, they're fired.
Drew Locke would know if he goes out and stinks it up this year, getting the same COVID, no preseason free pass that Vic got, because otherwise Vic shouldn't be back. Neither should Pat Shurmur. I mean, Vic Fangio made the Pat Shurmur decision. And right now, that looks like a mistake.
It looks awful.
And the three of us all said at the time, this is a gamble, this is a risk, because that's the one thing that worked during the 7-9 season was Rich Gangarello with Drew Locke. That was it.
It was twofold, though. It was Rich Gangarello and Drew Locke going 4-1 and Locke throwing 7 touchdowns and just 3 picks, but it was also the lack of success that Pat Shurmur has ever had.
Exactly.
We went back and we looked at every season that he was a play caller. There was one season where his offense was top 10. That was 10th with Case Keenum in 2017. But you look at the other years, it's like 26th, 24th.
Well, James, you're talking about Drew Locke. All he's got to do is beat out Teddy Bridgewater. You're talking about Teddy Bridgewater in this and that. I mean, all he has to do is go out there and beat out Teddy Bridgewater. And that's it this year.
I get it.
So go do it. You have the same offense. You got the same quarterback, coach. You got the same system. All the same groups coming back. Just go out there and earn the job then. And he's not doing that.
But he's being asked to win a competition with one hand tied behind his back.
How so?
Because they're not running a system that fits his skills.
They are running a system that fits his skills.
They're running a system that fits Teddy Bridgewater's
skills. How so?
And they're also doing something where if Teddy does something, it's not bad because he doesn't have a history with this coaching staff. And if Drew does the exact same thing wrong, it's a bigger negative.
Like how are they running a system that's more for Teddy? I mean, eventually in the NFL, you know, you're going to have to play in the pocket. And you can't, you know, you're acting like Drew's this Lamar Jackson 2.0.
No, but is he better?
Have you seen him every time outside the pocket? He gets hurt or throws an interception, it seems like. So let's be careful what you're asking for. Is that the truth or not?
All I know is he went 4-1 running that Gary Kubiak, Mike Shanahan offense.
And
he threw 7 touchdowns and 3 picks, and he looked very comfortable. And last year, when they ran an offense in Carolina, What was North Carolina?
I'm not sticking up for Pat
20-27, four touchdowns.
Okay, but you're
They ran the ball more than they threw it. And then what did they come back and do after that? They went four wide. Pat Shurmur is the genius who decided to go four wide multiple times with Trinity Benson at quarterback.
Kendall Hinton.
With Kendall Hinton at quarterback. Like, how silly is that? Any high school coach in this state would have said, I lost my quarterback. Okay, I guess it's time to run Veer or something like to that effect, right? But not Pat Shurmur. He's the guy who decides we're going to go four wide with Kendall Hinton. It's just, pull my hair.
But how come your tone with Vic and Shurmur is different than that of Drew when you admitted all fell so woefully short of expectation?
I think they should all be the same. Like, I think they should all be on
Drew
the hot
pass.
Seat.
You're giving Drew a pass. You want him to have a competition-free, he's the starter training camp. Is that right or not?
I'm raising my hand and saying, why isn't he getting the same free pass that everybody else is? That's all I'm saying.
Well, if I can tell you. Want me to tell you?
Sure.
Because the Broncos were tired of firing coaches. The Broncos brought in a new general manager, and he wants to evaluate things. You just hired Pat Shurmur. You can't fire him because that would look awful on the head coach. So this is why the Broncos have what they have, unfortunately. If those previous circumstances weren't the case, Vic would have been gone. But so he is saved by the bell.
Okay, so but again, those are reasons in which the deck is stacked against Drew Lock.
So the deck is stacked against Teddy Bridgewater.
This is about saving.
Is the deck stacked against Teddy?
It's about saving face, and if they go with Teddy Bridgewater, then it's all on Drew Lock. Drew Lock is the scapegoat, and nobody loves the scapegoat more than Vic Fangio. So if he can pin this on Drew Lock and go with Teddy Bridgewater, then he's got the reason why he's 12-20 during his first two seasons.
All Vic cares about is winning football games this year. That's all he cares about. There's no pinning it on. I mean, he's got to win football games, and they're going to go with who they think is the best person to win football games. You think Vic Fangio is worried about pinning up last year's season on someone else? He's got to win to keep his job.
That guy, after every loss in his press conference, is figuring out who he can chuck under the bus.
I can't argue with that. I mean, not everyone, but I can't argue with that. But this situation is different.
I think it's a huge mistake of what they're trying to do with Drew Lock, and all for what? So they can get someone to go out there and play conservative football. Here's the other thing. In 1998, the best Broncos team in history, right? They started 13-0, won the Super Bowl. They had an offense that was just chocked with Hall of Famers. It's Elway and Davis and Sharp. You can make the argument that Rod Smith was a Hall of Famer. I mean, that offense was just loaded. And what did defensive coordinator Greg Robinson do? Man, that guy was blitzing all the time, because if they gave up a big touchdown, no problem. We got a good enough offense. They'll go match it. Right? That was complimentary football. If this defense is so darn good, why does this offense have to be so conservative? Wouldn't it be like, hey, we're going to try and put up points, and we're going to run you out of the building, and if we make a mistake, our defense is good enough, they'll hold you to three, and we'll take another shot at it. Like, I don't think this is complimentary football at all. I think it's overly conservative, sit on your hands, and hope nothing bad happens, and you can win 17-13. I think it's foolish all around.
Do you have time to stick around for one more?
Sure.
Okay, I have a question to bounce off you guys about the 2021 season win total with each of these quarterbacks and how it could be relevant to the future moving forward, and we'll get to that next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.